And look for WUSB Concert Billboard Group on Facebook for any last-minute shows. The WUSB Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
This is WUSB Stony Brook, 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. I don't know where that came from. All right. Now, I'm sorry, smartphones aren't that smart. It's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Good evening. The program is Off the Wall. This is Emmanuel, and I'm joined by Finn.
Hey there.
I seem to only be... Okay, I was in the left channel in my headphones, but I guess I'm in both channels. You don't have your headphones.
I can hear things in both channels.
Yeah, you see, you're only showing up over there.
Am I?
Yeah, see how much bigger you are there than here.
But I do hear myself in both my ears. Oh, I don't have headphones on.
Let me jiggle this.
I kind of like a...
Oh, there you are. Okay, I think I fixed it.
A hard left slant.
Yeah. Well, oh, and then we have our new friend here who was speaking to us over the phone. Yeah, these smartphones are really funny, aren't they?
They're less smart than you might think.
They really are. Well, I mean, it depends. It depends on what you're doing. If you don't take them too seriously, you can have a lot of fun with them. And I've been chatting back and forth with this thing for days now, which I guess makes me not the smart one. yeah, I don't know what it's doing now. It's basically listening to everything I'm saying and interpreting it. And
waiting for a question?
I think if I stop talking, it'll process the information. I don't really know what it is. There's a keyboard now. I'm just trying to exit. And there is a mode. There is a mode where...
just one moment.
There is a mode where you can have it read back what you just said, which is really cool.
That is really cool.
But I don't know how... the only way I can get into that mode is if somebody sends a message and I reply to it. But then that somebody who sends a message has their phone number broadcast over the air because it has to announce that. And that's... I don't think there's any way around that.
Well, it does seem to be an excellent tool for teaching patience. Because it says just one moment.
Patience as in a hospital or patience
as in being patient? As in being patient, yes.
Yeah, no, you do have to be incredibly patient. I did make use of this thing the other day. I had to make an emergency trip to another state in the middle of the night.
Really?
I had to reset a machine, okay? That's basically what it was. I figured, you know, why not use the GPS function everybody's raving about, see how good this is. It is pretty good. I mean, it's pretty amazing. If I hit a button, it'll tell me exactly where I am, and that's a bit scary.
Yes.
Especially when you realize that the NSA can also hit that same button and see
that's
where
right.
you are. I figured, you know, for once in my life, I'm going to go for convenience over security.
Mm-hmm.
Just once, I'll see what that's like, and it's pretty alluring. I'll tell you that, to know where you are and where you're going and all that. I put in an address in this other state, and it was a route number, and unbeknownst to me, I had the route number wrong. I think I said 100 instead of 10.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I put in the address. It read it back to me. It says, "Is this where you want to go?" I said, "Yes." It gave me directions. I didn't think anything of it until I drove several hours and arrived at the destination.
And you have arrived at your destination.
It basically announced you have arrived at your destination. And I've been to this destination before, and I knew it wasn't it. And I looked around, and there am at an urgent care facility in this particular town that I don't go to all that often. But I do know enough that that's not where I go to when I do go there.
But you were in the right town?
I was in the right town. But when I looked at the phone to see where it had sent me, there was no... trace, no remnant of the address that I had entered. It was a completely different address. Mm-hmm. And there was no history of me ever saying that address. It was like, you know, that Twilight Zone episode where, no, I said it. I really did. You're all crazy. I was looking, and it wasn't there. So I found the bug. I immediately find bugs and things. But the bug here is that if you give it an invalid address, it doesn't tell you the address is invalid. It just routes you to some random place where you're going.
Somewhere in the area.
And then it tries to make you think that you never told it that address in the first place because it doesn't reflect that address.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting. Then there was another incident where I was getting closer. I actually had found the Route 10 that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was following the directions. This was the home stretch, basically. Literally, the home stretch. I was maybe three turns away from the final location. It said, make a right onto Route 110. I did. Then it said, okay, make a right onto this street. Now make another right. And, well, what does that... Do that in your head. What does that get you?
that squares you off.
Pretty much you go in a circle. And then I was at the point where it said, make a right onto Route 10. I'm like, okay, why am I doing this again? And I went all the way around the circle a second time. And I realized I was in an endless loop. I was in an endless loop because this phone was telling me to do the same thing over and over again and go around in a circle. And I was fit to be tied. How do I get out of this? How do I get out of an endless loop that I'm now looking suspicious as hell driving around in circles? And then I realized this thing doesn't know to tell me whether to go east, west, north, or south. And there was another turnoff across a highway, also for Route 10 going in the other direction, also on the right-hand side of the road. It didn't know the difference between the first turn and the second turn. And obviously, when I heard it say, turn now, I turned now. I follow orders. That's what I do.
It sounds like you have the budget GPS that is basically, we'll get you close to where you want to go.
Is there a deluxe GPS? I don't know. I'd like to know about these things. This is all new to me. And then there was one other incident when I was getting onto an interstate. And I guess there was kind of like a service road, and there was also the interstate. And I was pulling onto the interstate, following directions, thinking I was doing everything okay. And then I heard the voice say, make a U-turn. And why make a U-turn? First of all, I'm on an interstate. You don't do that. All right. And second of all, why I followed the directions. Why would I have to make a U-turn? And then it just continued giving me directions like it had never said that. It just said, keep going straight on this for 40 miles. But you just told me to make a U-turn for like a brief second there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, computers are great. They're amazing. They're fun to play with, but they're not perfect. And for those of you who think they are perfect, consider that humans program them there.
That is correct.
Run rings around your logic. And I guess this comes into play with the train accident that happened a couple of days ago. People are now talking about having computers do everything and human error. You know, there's always going to be human error, but there certainly will be computer catastrophes if you don't have some kind of overriding possibility. So we work together. We work together with the machines, you know, and much like in Battlestar Galactica, it'll all work out nicely.
That's that's right. That's right.
That's not how it worked out?
No.
All right. Well, I think it's because there wasn't trust from the beginning. There needs to be trust. That's important.
Trust between us and our phones?
Between mankind and machine.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're a big picture guy, aren't you?
I'm not sure what that means, but yeah, I try to have as big a picture as possible.
Very good.
Wherever I go. Yes. The latest thing, though, you hear about the Amazon drones?
I love it. It's not going to work well, but I love it.
Well, okay, let's think about the possible ways it's going to be a disaster. That's what I like to do. I like to think of how is this going to fail badly, or what kinds of roadblocks will we maybe hit on the way to its success? I'm thinking packages falling out of the sky.
That.
I'm thinking drones colliding with birds, other drones, airplanes, buildings, you name it. I'm thinking a toddler grabs onto the drone when it lands and then is whisked away into the sky back to Amazon headquarters.
Which is not a bad result, actually.
Maybe, depending on the toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Or pets, or what else? This is just in the first 5 minutes of hearing about this, which I wasn't convinced that I wasn't dreaming, hearing that Amazon is actually going to be delivering things by drone. I mean, it feels like we're stepping into, you know, Philip K. Dick novels a little too quickly.
Yes, I agree. But I do believe that at this point, they're just talking about delivering within a 10-mile radius of the distribution centers. And given the size of Amazon, I think probably everybody in that area is an employee of Amazon.
Okay. Well, where is the nearest Amazon distribution center?
Oh, I don't know. Right here.
Okay. I know there's one in Jersey.
Yes.
I'm not sure if they get smaller than that, but that's huge. And 10 miles from that isn't that big. But come on, this is a first step.
Right.
A tentative, maybe even not that tentative a first step, but it is a first step. And Amazon's just one company.
Right. And there'll be many doing this, no doubt, shortly.
I mean, Fresh Direct is going to be sending vegetables through the sky before you know it to senior citizens all over the world.
Now, I have to say that if I was a child, a young man with a BB gun.
There you go. That's another one. Okay. Laser pointers, BB guns, rocks.
Well, I'm just talking about the right. Laser pointers are one thing, but and larger weapons are one thing, but BB guns alone.
Mm-hmm.
Could be, you know, I can see a lot of kids out there having a lot of fun if these things are everywhere making deliveries.
Federal offense, okay. Well, terroristic act, Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
They soon learn if you basically instill fear upon them.
That's right. So you'd be in Guantanamo for taking down a delivery of pens.
And you meet a different kind of drone there.
That's right.
I was talking to Kyle about this earlier, and he was theorizing about lonely people that might invite the drone into their homes, and the drone is stuck inside a house. What do you do then?
That's right. The illustration of the drone I had seen, and I think we've all seen the same video at this point, has that little Amazon kind of smile on it.
Oh, my God.
And so it's very, very tempting to take it into your family, I believe.
I'm all for exploration and trying new things, but I just see so many ways this can go awry. And I like that, too. I like seeing things go awry.
Me, too.
The world is going to change very dramatically, very soon. There's going to be drones flying around in the sky all the time. I mean, look up at the sky. You see airplanes. It's a given in our lives. 100 years ago, not so much.
Right. All right? And the changes are happening fast.
Yeah. So I'm mostly concerned about how is this going to affect stargazing, being able to look at the sky without something interfering constantly.
That is a very good point. And if it gets to the level that Amazon would like it to get, I'm quite sure that will become a problem.
Do you really need something in an hour when you order from – well, people will expect that now. Do you remember? And there are still – sometimes if you watch late-night TV, you will still see this on mail order. Allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery.
Or 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks.
That used to be the old maxim, yeah.
Wow. Well, let's say 4 to 6. That's a month and a half. 6 to 8 weeks. And I saw one the other night. I saw one of these infomercials where actually, you know what it was for? I forget what company it was. It was a company that was basically telling you that if you plug this device onto your television set, you will magically get free television channels.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
It's an antenna. That's all it is an antenna that you plug into the back of your TV set, and you get digital TV because that's what they're broadcasting in now, digital television.
Right.
They were making it like they invented it, that you needed their particular device to do this, and they're basically touting it as you're getting these programs, like they were creating those programs. It's a damn antenna that just plugging it in, and they were selling this thing for like $30, but they said allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. You can go down to any store and buy this for less money and get it immediately, but it was like a remnant from the past with a product from the future.
Right.
Very strange.
Exactly.
But, okay, so 4 to 6 weeks delivery, that used to be the norm. That used to be what we were used to, and now it's changed. Now when people order something online, they expect it in a day, 2 days maybe.
I have to tell you, I mean, I've ordered some things that the origination point was China, and it's here in 2 days. I don't know how it happens.
They bore through the earth.
They bore through the earth.
Well, eventually they'll figure that out. But yeah, unless you put it on a boat, it's going to take not that long to get anywhere in the world.
Right.
But now it's going to change. The line's going to be moved yet again where people are going to expect things the same day within a couple of hours. And what's that going to do to us as people?
Well, that's how we are, we've been moving towards that functioning for a long, long time. I mean, look at the internet and everything else. Look at turning on your computer and waiting to get online. It used to be, we're just talking about the computer age. It used to be you dialed up, you had to wait.
Busy signals. Remember busy signals?
I do remember busy
signals.
Can
we find a busy signal? Does anybody even know what a busy signal sounds like anymore? Everyone has call waiting. No, seriously, no one knows what a busy signal sounds like anymore.
Right.
They really don't. If you call somebody and you come in on their call waiting, how do you get a busy signal?
I don't know anymore.
Yeah. Or somebody that doesn't have voicemail, where the phone keeps ringing and ringing.
Right. All it will say is this person's voicemail is not set up.
Yeah, but you still get a recording saying
exactly
that.
Correct.
What lies beyond getting something in an hour, getting something in a minute, having something before you even ordered it? I mean, how do you go beyond this?
I don't know.
Where are we heading? These are questions that I guess people have been asking for a long, long time. But
instant gratification.
As soon as drones start flying in the sky, that's when the rules change.
And of course, what's interesting is that these drone technologies have been developed and enhanced by for military uses, for surveillance uses, things along those lines. And of course, now those technologies are all out there, and Why not the commercial world grab onto it?
Well, it's interesting because every advancement, every major advancement that we can think of, whether it be communication systems, interstate highways, the internet, they've all been developed for the military first and then allowed to be used by ordinary people. But the military, they're the ones that develop these things for their particular strategic uses.
Yep.
Almost every
NASA.
Time.
NASA's another source of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I wonder if military drones will be able to deliver packages as well now.
Well, I do believe they're doing that.
Or if Amazon drones will be able to shoot down the competition.
That's a good idea. Or if you haven't paid your bill, will they come and get you?
You know, you say that, but that puts the concept of repo man in a completely different light.
That's correct.
I mean, think about it. We have our smartphones that tell us where we are, tell everybody where we are, if you're dumb enough to let that be broadcast, and they'll find you immediately. Or they'll find your phone, which usually is next to you.
Correct.
And with drone technology, they can get to you pretty quickly.
That's right.
This world is changing really fast, really fast.
Really fast.
With the NSA revelations and all that, it's it makes you realize just how much information about us is out there, how much is being perused constantly, and how easy it is for them to do this these days.
Mm-hmm.
And we make it easy. We make it easy with our Facebook, with our geographical location on our photographs, all sorts of things like that. Again, it's fun. It's fun to play with, but... boy, can it be scary. Just imagine, and it always happens, there's an evil government out there someplace that wants to track down people, that wants to look at your allegiances, who you talk to, who you exchange information. They don't have to read the information. They just have to know what your network is.
That's right.
And it's getting so easy now to do that. And evil governments will come into play at some point if they are not in play already. And I always say, imagine... this technology in the hands of Nazis, what would that have been like?
Right. And in fact, it's not just the governments, but it's also the cooperative nature of the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And that does happen. Facebook, you just mentioned, certainly has that general cooperative attitude for the government.
Absolutely. Wow. Speaking of Nazis, I didn't mean to have this be a lead-in, but you hear Bob Dylan's in trouble.
Yes, I heard he was sued for racism by the Croats, I do believe.
Well, no, actually, it's interesting. He was charged with a crime.
Right.
Because under French law.
Right.
Charged with inciting hate. Because under French law, you can't do that. I don't think he was in France when he said it, though.
But it was heard in France. It was read in France.
Yeah, but that's what I don't understand. If I say something hateful now or in private... Can the French government charge me with a crime?
Oh, the French can always charge you with a crime.
Have they charged me with a crime?
I don't know.
I said some hateful things sometimes. I get angry.
They certainly, it seems like they can. It's a very strange law, really. I don't have the verse of the law in front of me here, but it's one of those things where a certain type of speech is forbidden. And... that to me is problematic to begin with. I'm not pro espousing racist or oppressive beliefs.
Right.
However, to make it a crime to say it is always problematic to me. I'm a big believer
it's
in
a major
freedom of speech.
Cultural difference between Europeans and Americans.
Well,
because most people in Europe agree that you should not allow hate speech, and I talk to the most liberal people imaginable. Over there,
mm-hmm.
and many of them say this.
Right.
And it's hard for me to grasp that because I'm brought up in a completely different way. But they have a history. They have a history, a recent history, and a distant history where hate speech has been used very effectively against people.
Right.
And they remember this. And that's why the values are a bit different. Let's look at how Bob Dylan got in trouble. He made a comment in a Rolling Stone interview back in September of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this is it's kind of strange here. Suggesting that American blacks could sense whether whites had slave master blood. And here's the quote. Just like Jews can sense Nazi blood and the Serbs can sense Croatian blood. I'm wondering why he said this over a year ago, and they're charging him now with a crime, which is kind of weird. To the Representative Council of the Croatian Community Institutions in France, which is an organization that looks after the interests of France's 30,000 Croatians, those are fighting words. And apparently they get Rolling Stone a lot later than they should over there as well.
Yeah, it's a late delivery. Not coming by drone, obviously.
More than 4 to 6 weeks. They have led to Mr. Dylan, who built his early career singing songs that denounced racism, being charged under a French law prohibiting public insult and inciting hate. On Tuesday, a spokesman for the prosecutor's office in Paris told the Associated Press the French government had filed preliminary charges. Dylan's last encounter with the French government was just over 2 weeks ago when he was awarded the Legion of Honor, which is France's highest prize.
Uh-huh.
So they really need to speak to each other over there, I guess. The French government must have known that the charges were brewing when they gave Mr. Dylan the award. Vlatko Marić, the Secretary General of the Council, announced in November 2012 that his group had filed a complaint with the French government, and that complaint led to the current charges. We have nothing against Rolling Stone magazine or Bob Dylan as a singer, Mr. Marić said to The Guardian. His objection was that Mr. Dylan's comment equated Croatian war criminals with all Croats. It did seem like kind of a thick-headed thing to say.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I think the insinuation in that particular case was especially the Croatians specifically were – we're not just talking about the war in the early 90s there. But we're also talking about Croatian association with Nazis, back in during that time when and oppression at that time. So he could very well mean that.
There was a more recent conflict involving Serbs and Croats.
Certainly, but Dylan's memory goes back a long way. You know,
Saying Nazi is a good way to sum up all the evil that took place, but then focusing on one particular country or nationality, or religion, and saying you guys sided with the wrong side and you're evil now, even though you have no relation whatsoever to that.
Right.
That just seems very destructive.
It also seems very it seems like an ignorant kind of a statement in terms of, stereotyping, grouping people together, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. There are a number of countries that did side with Nazi Germany. Some because they felt they had no choice. Some because they had to either pick the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany as the lesser of two evils, and maybe they chose wrong. Although looking at Stalin's record, it's kind of hard to say. Anyway, they're looking for an apology, and so far Dylan has not apologized. But, I think...
Oh, he doesn't apologize for anything, Bob.
I think, a little educational tour of what Croatia is like now is in order. Just like, when Kyle and I went to former Yugoslavia, we learned so much about the people there, about how things have changed just in the past decade, and how amazing all of the former republics are, how different they all are.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can learn and grow from tragedy and horror, and we need to learn that lesson. We can't keep dredging up the old conflicts and the old hatreds, because they will take root and they will turn into more if you let them.
Right. I think we should maybe take a look at Bob Dylan's former touring schedule in the area, because he's been everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another, playing somewhere over the years. So, but I don't think he generally takes tours of the area. So, it's probably something he might want to consider in lieu of an apology, because he's not an apologist generally.
Hey, we got some email, and I want to thank people for writing to us. OTW@2600.com. OTW, of course, standing for Off the Wall, and 2600.com is where we get our mail. This person writes in saying you talked about November 11th. In a previous show. One thing he didn't mention is that here in Germany, a country that played quite a major role in the First World War. Yeah, I think they did participate, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
That day is barely recognized as the anniversary of that war's end. Instead, the day marks the beginning of carnival season, which is considered a time of joy and merrymaking. Well, okay, that's a choice. I would like to see a day where war victims are honored. Not just the people who fought. I mean, obviously, people who fought in the war deserve recognition, and regardless of what side you wound up on, because, you don't really have a choice. It's not like you get a ballot in the mail saying, who would you like to fight for, this side or this side? You have to fight for the side that you happen to be in, as far as countries. So to call everybody on one particular side of the border evil is wrong.
Correct.
It just is. So I would like to see something a bit more universal that that focuses on not only soldiers of all wars, but victims of all wars.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a whole separate occasion for that.
I agree.
Then we have this listener who says, I realize this was some weeks ago, Emmanuel mentioned wanting a poppy. You know, people wear the poppies mm-hmm. on their lapels. And you see them on British TV, you see them on Canadian TV,
mm-hmm.
All around November. It's really every newscaster seems to have one. Every politician seems to have one. A lot of people have them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're people as well, but, you know, a lot of ordinary people have them.
Mm-hmm.
But not here so much. Anyway, just so happens I found one. I'm willing to send it your way from Braunhilde. Braunhilde, thank you so much. Please do send that. I would love to have a poppy. We can't find them in this country for some reason. I guess it's a Commonwealth thing. You can send that to us. I'll give you our address. Off the Wall, care of 2600, P.O. Box 848 in Middle Island, New York, 11953. That's our address. Here's one more bit of mail from Christian, who says, actually, Jon Snow, the host of Channel 4 News, does not wear a poppy. He refuses to wear any symbol which may represent his views on air. In the run-up to Remembrance Day, he condemned what he called poppy fascism because Jon Snow says, in the end, there really must be more important things in life than whether a news presenter wears symbols on his lapels. You know nothing, Jon Snow. No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that. But no, I could see why that.
Yes.
Jon Snow. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
I mean, he spells it differently, but no one's going to know that from the way it's said. Okay. Hey, we've danced around the issue long enough, but we have to get back to it. I'm talking about the scandal here at Stony Brook.
Right. With Mr. Fiore.
Is that how you say Fiore?
That's what I've heard.
All right.
Let's stick with it.
We kind of talked about this last week as it was breaking on ESPNW, which I understand is for women's sports.
That is correct.
That's what the W stands for.
Yes, I figured that out afterwards as well.
I would like to read you that report, which...
Oh, the one we were discussing last week?
Yes.
Please.
I'd like to read what it said. Actually, it's very long, so I won't read all of it. I'll read some of it. Numerous claims of inappropriate behavior were brought against former Stony Brook Athletic Director Jim Fiore.
That sounds good.
Fiore, prior to his dismissal by the school on November 19th, sources have told ESPNW, Fiore is accused of discriminating against employees based on gender, age, and sexual orientation, according to sources close to and within the athletic department, as well as several documents. Stony Brook's Office of Diversity and Affirmative Action received several complaints about Fiore and had knowledge of his misconduct for at least 2 years, but failed to act, according to sources close to and within the athletic department, as well as several documents. I'd like to see these several documents.
Mm-hmm.
Among the complaints leveled against Fiore are sexual harassment and retaliation, misappropriation of university resources, and that he interrogated people about their sexuality. According to the documents, which have been received by the Attorney General of New York and the State Inspector General, Stony Brook being part of the State University of New York system, Fiore asked female coaches directly if they were homosexual. Sources also said Fiore asked female student athletes about their sexual orientation and behaved inappropriately with them. The environment within the athletic department was hostile, toxic even, said one source within the athletic department. When contacted by ESPNW about the allegations, Fiore's personal spokesman, Michael Conte, said he had nothing to provide. Conte spoke with Newsday on November 20th, saying the letter Jim received informing him of the termination of his contract specified no disciplinary action. It would be counterintuitive to conclude the university would buy out his contract to the sum of nearly $800,000 if Jim was facing disciplinary charges. Now, the story pretty much goes on with all kinds of details about the timing of all this. President Stanley here at Stony Brook is basically being asked a lot of questions and I believe not commenting to anybody as to what this is all about. Sources told ESPNW there was no negotiation over Fiore's departure. Newsday reported he was called to a meeting with the school's head of human resources, given a lump sum payment and told to leave. One source told ESPNW the university confiscated his work cell phone at that time. It's a bizarre story. It really is. Immediately after President Stanley released the news of Fiore's departure, Senior Associate Athletic Director Donna Woodruff sent a follow-up email obtained by ESPNW asking members of the athletic department to not answer any phone calls or communicate via social media in any way on this topic. She also asked staff to not entertain any external inquiries at this time. Now, we are part of Stony Brook. This radio station is part of Stony Brook.
Mm-hmm.
We, however, are not staff of Stony Brook. We are radio programmers. We speak on our own. What we say, opinions we express are our opinions. And we have not been shut down as far as being ordered not to speak about something. And that's because of two things. That's because this radio station has a history of being independent, being vocal in all sorts of different ways, being open to diversity and dissent, and also because of the tradition of journalism that surrounds us in this country and how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something you mess with. So that's one of the reasons why WUSB has been one of the places where this story has been discussed openly, where this story actually, information about it has been broken, has been released. Interviews with people have been broadcast. So it's important. It's not going away. Although, if you look at the mainstream media, and I'm talking about Newsday, I'm talking about New York Times, I'm talking about various other places where this story might be discussed, you're not seeing very much about it.
No, you're not.
And it's dying.
It's actually very disturbing.
Absolutely.
Because the story certainly, just on the interest of why did somebody get paid out and why are they gone, and following through with the rumors, you would think, normally, people would be on top of this. But it doesn't seem to be. And it's actually, you know, it gives you a very uneasy feeling about something that something could be going on behind the scenes, but we don't know.
Well, there are a couple of questions to ask, which I'm going to ask in just a moment, but I want to also focus on the response to the story coming out last week,
mm-hmm.
which is a story in and of itself. Less than 24 hours after ESPN first went to press with the story, that part of which we just read, detailing serious allegations made by employees and student athletes within the Department of Athletics here at Stony Brook, lawyers for Jim Fiore have responded by issuing cease and desist letters to ESPN and anyone else who has reprinted parts of their report. And I guess that would include us for reading the report.
Do we expect a letter any second?
I don't know. If I had more time, I'd read the entire report. But I can say that the story is still up on ESPN. To simply search for Fiore, F-I-O-R-E. Decide for yourself. I take a very dim view of people being told to shut up, getting cease and desist letters over journalistic releases, which is what this is. This story was not accusatory. I mean, yeah, it can be seen that way if you're the person being talked about, but it was based on what is being discussed by those few people discussing anything. It is a news story.
Right.
And you have to deal with that. If it's something you want to contest, I'm sure all these journalists are more than happy to listen to the other side of the story. But,
which, of course, is not forthcoming.
Yeah, if people are quiet about it, then people are going to speculate.
Correct.
And that includes us. Now, the two-page letter was addressed to ESPN. Richard Hamburger from the firm Hamburger, Maxson, Yaffe, Nauer, and McNally, LLP, demands that the network retract and remove their report, calling it false and defamatory. Of course, you know, when you remove something from the internet, it's still there. Just like deleting it from your computer, it doesn't go anywhere. It might be invisible, but it becomes all the more alluring, and people will dredge it up, believe me.
Not to mention plenty of people have taken whatever screen copies they can of that report, and it's still out there.
The letter goes on to accuse the author of ESPN's article, Carl Fagan. I'm sorry, it's microscopic print here, so it's either Carl or Kate. I can't make out. I'm sorry. Of reckless disregard of the truth. It was Kate because it's a she. Okay. She acted with intent to harm and injure Mr. Fiore's good name and reputation. So I think Kate has some call for a cease and desist letter there, because that's defamatory, isn't it?
I would say.
Though the letter never addresses any specific allegations made in the ESPN story as being explicitly false, save for a quibble with the article's use of the term fired. Hamburger says that the entirety of the article is false, particularly any claimed harassment based upon gender, age, and sexual orientation. The letter was sent to a blog site called Seawolves Nation, which we've also talked about, as an attachment to an email demanding that that site remove the story from last Tuesday that links to and cites ESPN's report. At no time in the letter or in their email to Seawolves Nation does the firm contest the original report from last week. Now, ESPN has stood by the report and published a statement issued by Fury's spokesman contesting the accuracy of their article. That's called showing the other side, like we discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Though Seawolves Nation has not adopted any formal policy in regards to aggregating and reprinting outside reporting that we have not independently confirmed, the decision by this site to leave our story up until such time as ESPN formally retracts their report, or we are provided with sufficient reason to believe that ESPN article is inaccurate. In other words, they're going to keep it up until something changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Now, the questions that I have, basically there are a couple of scenarios here, a couple of scenarios that I see as really the only ones, that this guy, Fury, was guilty of what these stories are saying, harassment,
mm-hmm.
sexual harassment of various sorts. And he was asked to leave because of that, because people filed complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, if that is true, how in God's name do you give somebody $800,000?
Of taxpayer and student money.
To walk away from that. Basically, you are rewarding somebody for harassing women. And for the women harassers out there, I would see that as tremendous inspiration. if I get kicked out of the university because they want to avoid a scandal, I'll get $800,000. I get to harass women, and I can probably get another job someplace else.
Right.
And the administration of this place has some really difficult questions to answer, if that is true, if that is what happened. Then there's the other scenario where that's not what happened, and this guy was not harassing anybody and is completely innocent. Everyone says, did a great job with the university as far as bringing sports into Division One and whatnot and all kinds of things.
Building the stadium.
Building things everywhere. Doing a good job. So why in God's name do you fire him? Why do you give him $800,000 when he's doing a good job? Again, university needs to answer questions. This is one thing the university is not doing. They've clammed up. They're not responding. They're not commenting. And I think this is something that people really need to get to the bottom of, because $800,000 is no chump change.
Right.
All right. Can you imagine what $800,000 would have done to this place over the course of, say, 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we scrounge for every penny. People here at this university know the meaning of raising money because there is so little of it around. Except in cases like this. And
right.
That is the question that needs to be answered. And that's the question that we're not getting an answer to. And that's why it's so distressing to see the story relegated to the back of the sports section someplace and eventually disappeared altogether. $800,000 just gone like that. No, that's not acceptable. And if there is harassment going on, that's not acceptable either. And we really need to hold people accountable for this. And yeah, that may go all the way up to the top. It might. And it will if people don't start talking and telling the truth.
Right. I do believe that, and I can't recall what the source was, but I do believe there was a university either leak or statement saying that there was officially one complaint
mm-hmm.
that actually was in writing that they acted on. And that's what they said.
If there is a complaint, then why isn't that complaint known?
Well, when the university is laying out $800,000 of your money, my money,
mm-hmm.
the students' money, then you're right. That should absolutely be an answerable event where it should not just be quieted down, you know, and shut up.
Yeah. It's insane enough how much people are being paid to run athletic departments. But I guess that's a reality. It's
right.
a reality I don't understand. I don't understand the big allure of organized sports to a university in the first place. That's me being behind the times and being out of it. Okay, I accept that. But one thing that I think most of us do understand is that when you throw $800,000 at somebody to go away, well, you know, there are some questions that need to be answered on that.
Exactly.
And if the guy is guilty of something, he should not be getting $800,000. And if the guy is not guilty of something, then we need to know why he was asked to leave.
Right.
So one of those questions, please, somebody answer those questions, because we're going to keep asking them. You know, maybe Newsday won't cover it. Maybe CNN won't cover it. Maybe even ESPN will drop the story. But we see the effects of this every single day at this place. And we're not dropping it. We're not. This is something that needs to be answered.
Absolutely.
All right. That's pretty much all I have to say on the issue. It's weird. It's weird
it's
seeing this.
It's very weird. It's weird. First of all, it's weird that the university would make a decision of not making a statement initially other than, you know, A.D. Fiore has left and we're sorry to see him go, but we paid him off in his thing without expecting any questions.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, this is exactly – you're watching this in the Ukraine right now where there's a second Orange Revolution going on.
Right.
And it's because of people in power that don't get it,
right,
that don't see what people are clamoring for, what people are upset by, that don't understand the concept of justice and of – being open and forthright, and in the case of Ukraine, basically moving in a more westerly direction, which is what people seem to want, not being so so closed off, not being basically hard on dissenters of various sorts. But it also it translates onto a university level as well when you have leadership that does not address issues, that expects people to just toe the line and move on and accept extravagant waste as the cost of doing business.
Right.
When we don't have to accept that. In this day and age where all kinds of things are being cut, that's the last thing we should be accepting. So I just hope that people continue to put pressure on to find out what's going on.
Yeah. And
also remember that here at this particular place, we do have independent voices such as Finn and myself. That feel free to speak up on issues like this. And that's something you wouldn't see in a place where that kind of thing was not respected. That's something to keep in mind. That's something to remember when we do ask for your support to keep us going. Because we don't see any of this athletic money. That's for damn
sure. That is for sure. Yeah. We could have used that $800,000.
That would have been nice. You know, even if we had been given the option, yeah, harass some women and you can get $800,000. I don't think any of us would have taken it.
Well,
it would be nice though if they said, "Yeah, you know, you're doing a great job. Here's $800,000," but then we'd have to go away, wouldn't we? Yeah, we don't want that either. So, I don't know. It seems like a no-win situation. But
as a matter of fact, if you appreciate what we're doing now, and we're not, you know, we're still in somewhat of a fundraising mode here, you can give us a call if you appreciate what happens at WUSB. Give us a call right now. I'll answer the phone, take your pledge to Off the Wall. And for WUSB, for these independent voices that are here on this station when others drop things for mysterious reasons, 631-632-6901, 631-632-6901.
And continue listening to WUSB, whether it's on apps like TuneIn. You know, on this phone, mm-hmm. I can listen to USB via Bluetooth in a car anywhere in the world.
I do that too.
Basically, even not in a car, anywhere in the world. TuneIn is one of those apps. There's a bunch of them. And I can basically pick a country. I was listening to radio in Mongolia before.
Huh?
And that's something. The world has changed. The world has changed. So USB is not simply confined. Used to be confined to the campus. And then we were confined to our broadcast radius in Suffolk County. But now it's the entire world. It's the
Absolutely.
Entire world. And the power that evokes, that's up to you. That's up to listeners. That's up to people that support this place. So if we have a ton of people out there watching out for us, that makes all the difference in the world. That will keep us going.
631-632-6901. Give us a call. Make a pledge to WUSB. Make a pledge to help keep Off the Wall on the air. Help keep these independent voices up and running.
Yeah. Well, think about what you pay for a newspaper or some kind of website access to news and ask yourself, do they ask the tough questions?
Right.
Do they address things head on? Or do they basically back down to their corporate interests, to their sponsors? We don't have sponsors. You're the sponsor. And you're the only one that we do answer to. But we still won't back down because questions need to be asked and the truth needs to be told.
So, Jim Fiore, if you'd like to make a pledge right now, we'll take it.
Yeah, but, you know what? How many thousands is our honesty and our devotion worth?
631-632-6901. Test us out. See how much our honesty and devotion is
worth. What kind of a job can you do for that amount of money? It's just unbelievable. If Jesus Christ, not to be too controversial, came back and offered to do carpentry or whatever he does, that would not be worth that amount of money. I'm sorry, it wouldn't. God himself. All right, I'll even go one step further. God. $800,000?
That wouldn't be worth a lot, but it would be worth a lot more on eBay after the first guy who purchased it.
Maybe so, but you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand salaries of athletes. I don't understand salaries of performers. I know there are so many people out there basically struggling for every penny, and they're the ones that keep it all going.
That's right.
And those are the people that we mostly are able to have good conversations with. Those are our listeners. Those are the people that
that's right. That so just remember, count. This AD's bailout has been paid for by your tax money.
Yes.
But not your tuition money.
Not through your donation to WUSB, though.
That is
goes
correct.
Directly to us.
631-632-6901.
Finn, I'm out of time. I mean that for the show, that is. Hopefully that's all. But you're coming up next.
I am.
For 2 hours.
That's correct.
Wow. But anything special planned?
Yes, we're going to be interviewing the director of a fine, fine Brazilian film in the first hour, giving away some tickets to a screening in Huntington.
Okay.
And then we're going to not stop till we punk rock.
Feel free to ask about Brazilian corruption in the World Cup next year and, you know, tough questions there as well.
We'll do that.
All right. We don't back away from things here. WUSB, write to us, OTW at 2600.com. It's Emmanuel for Finn and everybody here at WUSB. Have yourselves a good night. See you next week, hopefully.
Beef is not what Jay said to Nas. Beef is when the working folks can't find jobs. So they trying to find niggas to rob. Trying to find bigger guns for them to finish the job. Beef is when the crack babies can't find moms. Cause they in a pine box. I lock behind bars. Beef ain't the summer jam for Hot 97. Beef is the cocaine and AIDS epidemic. Beef don't come with a radio edit. Beef is when the judge is calling you defendant. Beef, it come with a long jail sentence. Hand it down to you in a few short minutes.
Walking down the road with the pistol in the waist. Young and too bad.
Almost death. Your girl come through for a visit to tell you how she pregnant by some other nigga. Beef is high blood pressure and bad credit. Need a loan for your home, but you're too broke to get it. And all your little kids doing is getting bigger. You trying not to raise them around these wild niggas. Beef is when a gold nigga got your seat in a manicure hand out like, pay me, nigga. Ha. Oh, I'm telling your wife for starting up some foul rumor that to ruin your life. Beef is when the gangster ain't doing it right. And other gangsters undecided what to do with his life.
Walking down the road with the pistol in your waist. Young, you're too bad. Walking down the road with the ratchet in your waist. Young, you're too bad.
Not what these famous niggas do on the mic. Beef is what George Bush would do in a fight. Beef is Miss Wallace, still don't know who shot Biggie. And beef is well done, Irv not being here with me. When a soldier ends his life with his own gun, beef is trying to figure out what to tell his son. Beef is oil prices and geopolitics. Beef is Iraq, the West Bank, and Gaza Strip. Some beef is big and some beef is small, but y'all call beef is...